You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. James Coe here with you. Oh, my goodness. What a beautiful Thursday morning it is. Joined alongside by the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar. What's up?
Boy, the people here listening in just missed some heat, some hair heat before the pod got started. But it was all in good fun.
It was so stupid.
It was all very dumb.
All right, we got the franchise, the Magical Beard of Fantasy. We have Matt Franciscovich. What's going on?
Yo, last week I was like, it's week 4 already? Yeah. What the heck? And now I'm like, man, it's only week 5.
So you know what I'm saying? You can't get into that, man. I was telling Harmon that I've been doing this for too many years, like 5 years here. But you get caught in that because you're like, wow, like time's flying, and then week 8 hits, and you're like,
it's like a wall.
Man.
End it. Please.
There's no, it's the endless staircase in Mario 64.
It is the endless staircase.
I like it. We have Matt Harmon here as well, repping West Virginia very well. What's going on?
I just pulled up the Roto-World headline page.
Yes,
I know we're about to get to news, but the first 4 headlines are all just eye roll worthy
yes.
running back news.
Yes,
Hugh
I've
Jackson.
Seen that as well.
I believe in Isaiah Crowell.
Nope.
Running backs coach Adrian Peterson will break out.
Oh,
nope.
God.
Ben McAdoo, if a running back gets hot, we'll ride him.
Nope.
And Vikings add Stephen Ridley. It's like, oy.
Oh, man. Stephen Ridley, what a journey he's been on this year. He was cut and then went to Denver for a second, got cut there, was on the practice squad, and then. Oh, boy. He's probably going to get cut by the Vikings as well, but we'll see. All right. Let's start with, we got a great show in front of us here, obviously, today. We're going to be doing early week 5 pickup / deep sleepers. We have every damn game on the docket. We'll close out with daily daps, but we start your show, as always, with your top headlines.
News.
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 News. News headlines. Let's start by talking about this whole Ezekiel Elliott NFL court ruling thing. All right. So the court's hearing it. A ruling is anticipated. I shouldn't say anticipated. It could come down this week. It could come down next week. Hell, it could come down at the end of the season. We don't know. But there are rumblings that a court ruling could come down this week. I put this in here because it's almost as if we've forgotten about it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, there's a stay. There's an injunction. Zeke's going to play the whole season. And then all of a sudden now, the court could actually rule in the NFL's favor. Is it at least worth picking up somebody like Alfred Morris?
Certainly.
100%.
Darren McFadden.
You want to insulate yourself here. Well, McFadden's been inactive the last couple games, and it appears they've switched over to Freddie Morris being the backup. But, yeah, you want to try and protect yourself in these situations. It's like when you have a running back who's questionable, which we'll talk about next, but you want to roster the backups just in case.
Yes.
Yeah. Freddie Morris, is he – I mean, I'm not saying he's a priority ad, but – actually, is he a priority ad, though?
I don't know. This week was so chock full of backfields, you know, going up in flames, as NFL backfields are wont to do, by the way.
But this week in particular was crazy.
So much shakeup, so much turnover, and that's just kind of what happens at this position, that it was hard. It was hard for me to really even know how to prioritize these guys.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and I still don't feel too clear about it. And adding Morris and or McFadden into the mix continues to, like, that's still, I just don't really know where to slot those guys in either. I mean, I think they're worth adding, but I don't know that I'd be adding them over some of these other players that we were talking about earlier this week, like Latavius Murray. I think I'd definitely take Murray.
Freddie Morris or Jerick McKinnon.
I think I'd still take McKinnon. Because here's the thing with Alfred Morris. I know he's been the one that's active, but we've seen NFL teams do this before where just because the guy is inactive on game day doesn't mean he's not the backup. Think of like Cameron Artis Payne with the Panthers.
That's exactly right.
He was continually inactive, but that didn't mean that he wasn't the guy that was going to get the carries when the starter went down. And I think that could be the same situation with McFadden. So
I agree.
You could easily add Alfred Morris, and then you're holding the bag with like three carries
a game. We
got to remember,
Freddie Morris, as much as I love him, has skillets for hands. And he's not going to come in and take over the three down workload that Zeke has. Like McFadden will factor in for
sure. They
don't
have a pass catching guy there though.
No, they got a Lance Dunbar.
I mean, McFadden can catch passes, but
didn't Lance Dunbar go to the Rams?
He did, and then
he's
got
on
injuries.
IR, I think.
Yeah. But Morris too, like also is a name and a great story, but like he hasn't been good since I was in college, so
he had like a 70-yard run last week, didn't he?
I thought he looked great in the preseason. No?
I
not
he,
buying,
I,
huh?
I thought he looked okay in the preseason, too.
Yeah.
I thought the dirt got piled on Freddie Morris's grave a little early.
I think it would be a committee if he's
a system back, and also, like, this Cowboys offensive line, like, you know, 2-3 years ago, we were thirsting over literally anybody that got behind that line. Like, I remember a time and place when Lake Seastrunk was being discussed because he got added to the Cowboys,
wow.
You know, practice squad or whatever.
Nice.
That Cowboys line
nice.
is not that way anymore.
No, it is not.
You know, they have huge issues at right tackle and left guard where they turned over this year. So I'm not just like I'll punch anybody in the face to try to get a Cowboys back.
Before
right
we move on, I think we should start a new contest where we should see who can have the most obscure random player pull in context during analysis.
Oh, Lake Seastrunk.
Seastrunk wins for the day.
I want to win that contest.
We've had that happen a couple times.
Yeah, who was your Titans running back that you pulled out?
Wait, Jalston Fowler?
Jalston Fowler, that's what it was. Wow.
Get double points if it's a fullback like that.
Yeah, double points.
That's pretty good.
All right, let's
that's pretty good.
On the sly, let's try and keep that going.
I like it. Ty Montgomery, Jamal Williams were back at practice Wednesday. Jamal Williams was a full participant. Both are going to be questionable going into Sunday's game, but Aaron Jones was clearly the hot waiver wire ad this week, and mostly because he showed a lot of juice in that Thursday night game against Chicago. Unfortunately, his workload is very questionable. Speaking of questionable, I guess my question would be, you spent a high waiver priority getting Aaron Jones. You spent a lot of fab budget getting Aaron Jones. Is Aaron Jones playable on Sunday?
I think he is, I guess, as the resident Packer player. Like, Ty Montgomery has said he, you know, might play, but he's worried about long-term effects and they need to find that stuff out. Like, if he's practicing, that's great, but I don't think they're going to trot him out for a heavy workload.
I'd be.
And
then
it's
not a good move.
With Williams, too, if he's practicing, like, he wasn't that effective. Hasn't been in his few times where he's spelled Ty Montgomery. I would think even if they're both healthy, they'd still probably lean on Jones rather than trotting out these guys who are, you know, theoretically higher in the pecking order because Montgomery's been the starter and Williams is the higher draft pick and the first man up after Montgomery went down. But, like, I don't know. I think the ceiling is certainly lowered, but I'd still play Jones.
Okay. Anybody disagree with that?
I don't think so. I feel like Aaron Rodgers caped up for Jones and said he trusts him and, you know, he had a good preseason and he's a talented kid. He's just a little small.
Also going to be a high-scoring game against Dallas. So.
Yes.
Could
yes.
be.
Yeah.
Certainly could
you
be.
You want pieces of that game. And I would say that there are a lot of draft analysts that, you know, I remember when it was one of those moments on Twitter when, like, Aaron Jones got picked by the Packers that, you know, everybody seemed to, like, huh, you know, I think Aaron Jones is better back than Jamal Williams. I'm like, oh, cute. You're all very original with your takes right now. But
that was the entire time.
It was,
I really liked Jamal Williams coming out of college. But
yeah, they were both pretty good prospects, but I would just say that there's, you know, a pretty decent chance that Jones, who's a better athlete for sure, is the superior running back to Jamal Williams. And if he gets hot, you know, he could easily be that number two player or potentially number one on Sunday. So, I mean, I think he's playable just because this game is high scoring. But if Montgomery's out there, then I don't know. Then it's like, I don't know if I want to deal with that.
Gelhar, what's the story on those tackles, the offensive line for Green Bay?
I haven't seen full updates yet because, I mean, we'll have to probably wait till the Friday practice report to get a better sense. But they've both been getting close to playing, and you would hope that with 10 days of rest after the Thursday night game that one or both of them could be coming back.
Oh, man, they need that badly. They lost their other tackle too, didn't they, in that game?
I think it's three or four of their top six tackles are on IR now.
Damn. Jeez.
Good Lord.
Banged up.
Speaking of injured Packers, Davante Adams was limited in practice Wednesday. He isn't fully cleared from the concussion protocol, but there are signs that he wants to play on Sunday. That's surprising news to me, just given the severity of the hit. I mean, he went to the hospital, for God's sakes, after taking that hit. And now they're saying that possibly he could be a go on Sunday. I'd be surprised. Mm. I'd be surprised if he goes on Sunday.
Different people recover differently from concussions.
It's true.
It's something that we don't have all the info and science on. But some guys, I'm trying to think, there was somebody last year that was out like in concussion protocol for like literally 6-7 weeks.
Yep.
And other guys.
Luke Kuechly.
Kuechly was in it for a while. But So, I mean, if they clear him, like, then I think he's a fine start. Because, again, this is going to be a high-scoring game, and the Packers are going to have to take to the air.
And if he doesn't go, Geronimo Allison certainly is
sneaky
a name.
Play. Sneaky play.
Could be an interesting play there in that game as well. All right, Thomas Rawls, Eddie Lacy, they're back practicing, both expected to have a role on Sunday. I'll ask you this, who you going with? I would imagine they're both playable from a flex perspective, but I guess if you were leaning anywhere, where are you leaning? And we start with you, Franchise.
I think I would lean towards Rawls because I think he's more explosive. I understand he was inactive last week, and we saw Eddie Lacy kind of produce when Chris Carson went out. But Rawls has been there longer. Eddie Lacy may still be dealing with effects from the ankle surgery. I would lean towards Rawls, but both of them have good outlooks. The Rams can't really stop the run. They're allowing 151 rush yards per game and have already given up 7 rushing touchdowns this year. They gave up 12 all of last year.
That's
bad. So I think I would lean towards Rawls just because he's kind of the incumbent in Seattle there, the veteran. But I think you could flex Lacy too.
Matt Harmon, Eddie Lacy was clearly the preferred running back among the masses. What say you in this split?
Yeah, I don't really have a lot of confidence or clarity with this situation
I'm a chicken with this backfield.
You're the only one who doesn't have clarity on this.
Well, I like to live without a little clarity.
I'm just kidding, bro. No one knows it's gonna happen.
Yeah. I mean, seriously though. I think it's a better one situation to wait and see. I think both should be added, but there's probably running backs in other spots I'd rather play because this could totally turn into a spot where one of them takes over. Like, I don't think they're that safe.
It's
in the
so
flex.
Crazy too because I think J.D. McKissick was a name that was added in a lot of leagues as well because he made those big plays.
Yeah. I added him in the Scott Fishbowl at least because it's like, what else can you add in the Scott Fishbowl?
Yeah.
But I was like, well, I might as well spend this money now. But no, I think with this backfield, I'd rather obviously wait to see. But we're already getting to the point with running backs where it's like, how desperate are you? You know, like – I know there's one team I have, and you know, nobody cares about your fantasy team, but there's one team that I have where like I was in that position like 2 weeks ago. Like, do I really start like Deion Lewis and hope he gets a touchdown? Like, that was a legitimate question I was asking myself because of injuries to David Johnson and other players. So it just depends, and if you have to play one of these guys, I feel like I'd probably go with Lacy just because we saw him, you know, active. But I just said like 5 seconds ago that doesn't mean anything with a different backfield. So what the hell do I know?
All right, there you go. We've helped the listener 0%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Michael Crabtree.
You can get a full refund at the door.
It's just a weird situation.
It is.
And ProSize might be back. They don't know yet.
He didn't practice Wednesday, so it's
but
not
that's
good.
Only Wednesday. Like he's got, you know, if he practices Friday, then maybe he plays Sunday, and then McKissick doesn't have any value anymore. It's just a weird situation.
They're definitely frustrated with ProSize. That was the tone a couple of weeks ago.
Like, right.
Yeah, I mean, he's just never healthy.
Yes.
And, you know, that sucks. Cause it's too bad because I think he could be a really good player. But I do think that opens things up for McKissick. This is a team that consistently says, like, we play our best guys. It's competition-based. And if you win the job – and McKissick looked freaking awesome on Sunday night. So
explosive player.
He's definitely somebody that I think would probably, for most leagues, got lost in the shuffle of all these backs that got added.
You know what I'm saying?
But he's someone to keep an eye on for
100%.
Sure. 100%.
I really liked what I saw in that game. He looked so explosive there, especially out of the pass game. And we know that the Seahawks, as much as they like to run the ball, I mean, they run shotgun like 80% of the time. So, you know, there's going to be a role for McKissick if C.J. ProSize is not available. Michael Crabtree anticipated to play through his chest injury on Sunday. You guys rolling him out there? And, I mean, just given the fact that David Carr's not going to play.
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr's not going to play.
Well, David Carr's not going to play either. That's
yeah, yeah, actually, that
even
is
worse.
Correct.
Would you rather have David Carr or AJ Manuel?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know, man. Seeing David Carr walk around this office, dude's pretty jacked.
That's what I'm saying. He's in shape. That dude could play.
Great hair, too.
Also another great hair.
His hair game on point. You guys rolling out Mike Crabtree?
I'm pretty much giving a nah wave to this entire offense.
Yeah. Yes. Although Marshawn Lynch is interesting against the Ravens, who haven't been able to stop the run.
Be more volume for Marshawn.
That's what the storyline is. But I think he's had, like, I don't know, 12 or 13 carries in the last two games for 30 yards.
Heading into last week, he'd only played on 40% of the Raiders' snaps.
That's weird.
It's like if they get down early, Lynch becomes a non-factor. If they have a lead.
It's not that surprising to me that he's like a committee back. They have two young players that they like in Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington.
Yeah.
Lynch has at times in his career been a factor in the passing game, but it's never been like his strength or anything. I mean, he has just a handful of catches this year, so it's not that surprising to me. I mean, again, this is a guy that came out of retirement at a really grueling position, so it's again just really not that surprising to me that he is a committee type player. And I don't know how you play him with any confidence in this game, and really honestly, like going forward
in this offense, just given the role, it's
at home at least. Like that's
hard.
The one thing you can say.
There might be 5 points scored in this game though between the Ravens and the Raiders.
This might be like a sneaky Cordarrelle Patterson game.
Oh no.
What?
Yeah.
Holy hell.
What did you put in your coffee this morning?
Jet sweep 60 yards.
Yeah,
the house?
That's what I'm saying, man. That's what I'm saying.
Dial this one back if you're right.
Crabtree's injured.
I do like it.
Cooper has had a knee injury. The quarterback is going to be EJ Manuel.
Yeah.
Just give the ball to an explosive player like Cordarrelle Patterson like maybe 4 or 5 times and see what happens.
Hey, man, I'm always in for a little CP touches.
Ooh, yeah.
CP action.
By the way, speaking of crazy fever dreams, we almost had the crazy Ameer Abdullah fever dream come true.
You're right.
He put up what, like a buck fifteen total, and a touchdown too.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Then he got hurt.
Dreams do come true.
Oh.
But like a little bit hurt.
I was like, whoa, this is going to be crazy if this actually happens.
Yo, Cordarrelle Patterson led Oakland last week with 6 catches on 6 targets. So
that's odd.
Great.
Just saying.
That's when you know.
Not crazy.
That's when you know your offense is in a bad.
Way. I know.
It's in a bad spot. Amari Cooper seems to be mentally out of it. Michael Crabtree's hurt. They got a backup quarterback in EJ Manuel.
Rough.
Oh boy. All right. Let's talk about early Week 5 pickups and or deep sleepers. Let's get some deep sleepers out of the way, because who the hell doesn't like deep sleepers?
Derp slurpers. That's our drop.
That's our derp slurpers.
Derp slurpers.
Slippers. All right, French. All right. What do we got?
Me?
Yeah, you got one, pal?
Yeah, I got one.
Okay.
So,
Bucks, you just gave us Cordarrelle Patterson.
I was just looking at last week's game logs and was like, I don't know, maybe this happens. But my other one, Bucks wideout Adam Humphries.
Okay.
I know he plays Thursday night against the Patriots, which is a good spot because Patriots give up a ton of points to wide receivers. But
to everybody,
Humphries has had 12 catches and 138 yards in his last two games, 6 catches in each. And Tampa Bay plays Arizona next week, which means Patrick Peterson might be on Mike Evans, which means might open things up for a guy like Humphries who plays from the slot, and he's played on 70% of the snaps in the last two games. So
I like it.
Under the radar, a little slot guy there in Tampa Bay.
All right, give it to me. Wizkid from Wisconsin.
I was actually going to pick Adam Humphries.
Oh.
So,
I told you this morning.
Let me.
I didn't even hear that.
It was in Slack.
I hadn't opened Slack yet. Whoops. That's my bad.
I will start. I'll say, how about Austin Seferian Jenkins taking on the Cleveland Browns?
I actually got one. Duh.
And the Browns have been just atrocious against guarding tight ends. We got some crazy sound.
What is happening out there? Yeah.
Is there a child?
Is this a horror movie?
Where did that come from?
That literally sounded like a demon child about to come in and slash us to death.
There are twin 6-year-old girls staring at me through the conference room window right now.
Okay. So how do I move on to Austin Seferian Jenkins? I don't know, but the Browns have been really, really bad against tight ends. As a matter of fact, we saw Tyler Croft be your tight end one. Last year, tight end one.
What?
Tyler Croft. ASJ obviously is not in as good of an offense, but that's okay. I mean, again, if you're looking for a deep sleeper at the tight end position, ASJ's not bad, I don't think. this week. All right, Matt Harmon, what do you got?
Yeah, I think a good one. Does Andre Ellington still count as a deep sleeper?
Absolutely.
Okay, because sure, I would say, look, he's another guy that might have gotten, yeah, why not? He's another one that might have gotten lost in like the grueling run of waiver wire running backs. Guy had 14 targets last week.
Led the team.
And I think that's something we can kind of expect going forward because they cannot run the ball.
Yes.
So they're going to use Ellington as an extension of the run game, as a short outlet receiver. And he's looked good doing it. I mean, he has looked really good. And I think in this game, especially against the Eagles, you know, it's a cross-country game for the Cardinals. We've seen the Cardinals get waxed in those type of games before.
Yep.
I recall them going to Buffalo last year, and they just got obliterated by the Bills.
True.
So they could be behind all game, and then they're really just looking for Ellington as like a dump-off guy. So in a PPR league, I think he's like a great running back to play.
Yeah.
All right, Gilhart, give it to me.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. USC wide receivers, am I right?
My boy.
Well,
Let's go this
week especially is like a deep sleeper.
I don't hate it.
The Jags have those excellent boundary corners, and Jalen Ramsey, who has Harmon noted in his all-pro piece, allowing an absurd 2.5 yards per target.
That's so stupid.
What?
Like, yeah, 2.5 yards per target.
Per target.
Mediocre. It's about average.
And A.J. Boye are playing great. The way to attack the Jags defense is kind of over the middle, and like Jesse James is – whatever is the tight end, but Juju's been running around a lot of routes for him, and he's been pretty consistent. So
he's developing in this offense too, man.
He is. Deep sleeper for now. They've got the Chiefs, the Bengals, and the Lions up next before their bye. The Lions are a team that's weak against tight ends. Juju's kind of playing a tight end-ish role for him, so you could see if the offense, the passing game continues to sputter, they might look to their young young rookie who's played pretty well to keep things going.
But man, Steelers like home that. Road splits, though.
Go away.
Well, he's at home, so
that's what I'm saying.
Fire him up.
Hey, let's go. All right, let's do EDG every damn game. We'll start with the Niners taking on the Colts. Give it to me, Matt Harmon.
This game, this is like a great game for me to have because it's one of those that could be like a beautifully bad shootout between these two.
A beautifully bad shootout.
Nice way to put it.
That's poetic.
That's an awesome way to put it, man.
Yeah, between these two teams, beautifully bad shootout. That's going to be the title of my next album. Look for that hitting record stores.
Do you
soon.
Have one out now?
Yeah, bro. Of course. The Boy Young Boy.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Debut album.
Our debut album. But anyways.
That's going to be the podcast title, by the way.
Beautifully bad shootout.
Yep.
Awesome. Anyways, so the Colts side of this game, I do like Jacoby Brissett as a streamer. Again, coming back to our Fantasy Live league, I wanted to stream a quarterback this week. Did not want to because Kirk Cousins on a bye. I'm playing Alex. And I'm like, do I stream Eli Manning or Jacoby Brissett? I ended up going Eli, but I like Brissett in this game. The 49ers are.
I thought you were gonna say Brissett.
No, I just. Anyways, I don't need to get into those.
I should just pick up Brissett and play him against you just so you tilt into oblivion if he has a big game.
Well, 100%. Maybe you do need your first win, so maybe you should do that.
Oh, no.
My team's been injured.
Anyways. But
this is true, though.
So
do need a win.
So with Brissett, I talked about this actually in Deep Dive, that the 49ers right now, they have like a pretty good front seven. They are – like they're talented up there, so I think that they are forcing teams to throw on them, and that's proving to be successful. I mean, we've seen some good games, so Brissett definitely a guy that you want to look at, especially because he offers some rushing ability if you need a streamer. And then I don't know, the only Colt that I want to play pass catcher wise is T.Y. Hilton, of course, and that's even, of course, we know it's a dicey bet, but he's really the only guy there that I'd want to play. And then on the 49ers side, I think Brian Hoyer also is a streaming quarterback option this week because, like I said, this is the beautiful bad shootout.
Yeah.
Like this game could be pretty high scoring. He has been pretty dreadful for fantasy other than that one Rams game, but I think at least having that game on his ledger shows that he has some sort of potential. And I think Pierre Garçon is an awesome play. Nobody in the Colts secondary really scares me. I don't care that Vontae Davis is back. He sticks on one side of the field.
Okay.
I think I heard on the feast this morning with Evan Silva and Ross Tucker that Davis, per Pro Football Focus, gave up over 101 yards in coverage last week.
He's struggling.
It's possible he's not right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's
I don't think
saying.
He's been right for like the last 2 years, really. Mm. I mean, last year, even when he was on the field, he gave up some plays. So, yeah, like not a player that – I think he's one of those corners that like people talk about, but we really shouldn't be like, oh, my God, we're playing Vontae Davis. Okay. But, yeah, so I really like Garçon in this spot. And, of course, you're rolling out Carlos Hyde, even though he was starting to lose some touches to Matt Breida in that game. But
he was hurt.
Yeah, and like that's the Carlos Hyde experience. Yeah. You know, he's going to have those games. But he's definitely somebody you're playing here.
Jets taking on Cleveland. Matt Forte still not practicing with that toe injury as of Wednesday. Certainly will be questionable going into Sunday in his matchup against the Cleveland Browns. Alex Gilhar, what else you got in this game?
Oh, this is an interesting game, too. I think – hold on, let me get to my right spot. I was actually – I legit just picked up Jacoby Brissett and started him against Herndon.
Nice!
Just nice. Because I really hope he does go off so we can have a tilt-off in this game as I desperately search for my first win. But, excuse me, as I stall to get to the matchup here. Oh, my God, that's not the right matchup. I am just falling apart. This is great radio, guys.
All
right, meanwhile, now I've got to my notes.
James Coe wrote a good piece about Duke Johnson and Coe knows this week.
Oh, yeah.
So, check that out.
All right, back to this. It's a great piece, speaking of.
Thanks, Franch.
Yeah.
It was good. This game has beautiful bad shootout potential as well. Not nearly as much as that other one because, well, one half of this is the Browns. But Jets-wise, I think Josh McCown is kind of on the low-end streaming radar. The Browns have been ripped apart by quarterbacks the last couple weeks, and it hasn't exactly been a list of luminaries that have carved them up because it was Jake Brisket and Andy Dalton. So you could go to Josh McCown. As for the pass catchers, the only one we can really trust is ASJ. He's been playing a lot of snaps, getting targets. This backfield, though, is interesting because with Forte still not practicing, Bilal Powell saw a ton of volume last week, and even if you took out his big touchdown run, still put up a pretty good game.
Yeah.
So you're going to want to start on him. I think Elijah McGuire, he didn't have a ton of snaps, which kind of concerns me.
He's put up a big number on basically one play.
69-yard touchdown.
He had 19 snaps, so that's concerning. But I think with
19 snaps,
with all the running back injuries and with four good offenses on the bye with the Falcons, Broncos, Saints, and Redskins, I think Elijah McGuire could be in the deep flex mix. And then the Jets, kind of a sneaky streamer, I think. I mean, they're on the road, which you don't love, but Kaiser's been sacked 11 times and has committed 9 turnovers in 4 games. So
that's not
As for the Browns, the only person I'm even considering playing is Duke Johnson.
Atta baby.
I mean, his touch total has increased. He's, like, the only spark on this offense. I think he's leading the team in targets, too.
Yeah.
So, like, the tight ends are talented. I like those guys, Seth DeValve and David Njoku, but they're splitting snaps and targets, like, right down the middle. Their wide receivers are like, blah.
Don't start Kenny Britt.
I mean, you know, Damashek has his Jenga piece theory, and like it's kind of sad, but like the Corey Coleman loss was like a huge Jenga piece for this offense.
And I don't know how to make the analogy right, but like Kenny Britt being in there is like the reverse of the like Jenga piece. Like he's him being in there is making everything worse. I mean, no, he single-handedly like sabotaged drives last game out, and like he's doing that several times.
Every game.
Hugh Jackson pretty much admitted, like, yeah, we'd probably cut this guy if we didn't pay him all this money and have so many injuries. Like, so
why are they still running him out there?
Because they don't really have him. Who else are they going to play?
Hey, they just picked up Bryce Treggs. That's right.
Okay,
let's go.
That's a thing that you've said, but no, I mean they don't have
Cal
a
wide
lot
receivers. Let's go.
They don't have a lot of bodies, so
I forgot he went to Cal. That's why, because remember you hyped him up in Danger Zone or something like years ago too.
I just liked him as a player. Can I just let me share one story about Bryce Treggs real quick? He was in college. He was in college once.
Sure.
Okay. Just stop. All right,
he was in college once.
Oh my God.
For a day. Okay.
Can I finish this?
Go with your story.
Can I finish?
Bryce Treggs. When he was in college, was tweeting out about – he went on some tweet storm about how he was showing around a recruit or whatever, and he got upset because this guy was talking about parties or whatever it was. And he's like, get turned up. Why don't you get turned up on books? Get turned up on education.
Nerd.
People are all worried about getting turned up in for party schools.
Get turned up
on your books.
Get turned up on books.
On your education. So, and that was a big reason as to why he chose Cal over some other schools, but whatever. Anyways, ever since then, I've been part of the Bryce Treggs fan club. The guy's got speed. Anyways, whatever. Moving on. Jags at Pittsburgh. Franch, give it to me.
Yeah. This game should be fun because neither team is good at stopping the run. Steelers D has been solid everywhere except for run defense. They're allowing 113 rush yards per game, 4 rushing touchdowns. They've played teams like Cleveland, Minnesota, Chicago, and Baltimore. So not great teams to face who have like amazing running backs. Chicago kind of ripped them up with Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. And then the Jags have the number 2 rush offense in the NFL. They're leading the league with 138 rush attempts, 148 rush yards per game. So I think it's a good spot for Leonard Fournette.
On the other side, Jags.
I feel like Leonard Fournette has been better than advertised, as advertised, or slightly worse than advertised.
I think Alex and I were talking about this last night at Shock, a bar. I feel like he has kind of exceeded expectations. And it's funny because the Jaguars right now are really playing with a hand tied behind their back with Blake Bortles as being their quarterback.
So bad.
I mean, it sucks because in their first game, they were dominant defensively. In their third game, they were dominant defensively.
Yeah.
And then in the two games other than that, like, the Bortles has been – like, the Bortles, like, black cloud has just been too much to bear. And the fact that Fournette has been really consistent and
– really impressive.
Yeah, he accounts for over 31% of their offensive yardage and 40% of their touchdowns right
now. Can you imagine if Allen Robinson was healthy and if they had a serviceable quarterback right now?
Yeah, it's unbelievable that they're playing with, like, a JV – passing game, essentially, in today's NFL.
Bortles
hasn't
crossed 250 yards yet this season.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I'm sorry, French. I jumped in there. But
wait, I thought he had that
That's
big
fine.
Game.
With You're like good.
247.
Oh. Well.
I think.
Yeah,
wow.
The four touchdowns or whatever.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Go ahead.
On the other side, the Jags, you said their corners are playing really well. They have a really good pass defense, but their rush defense is the worst in the league. They're allowing 165 rush yards per game.
Okay.
So it's a good spot for Lev Bell, too. So it's kind of like a Lev versus Fournette game here.
AB on high alert?
I think you're going to start Antonio Brown because he's Antonio Brown. What are you going to do? Put him on your bench with teams on a bye and stuff?
You're not starting. Well, I'm just
but
saying.
They're only allowing 147 pass yards per game, but they haven't faced a crazy attack yet, like a high-powered attack like the Steelers.
That's a good point.
The Jags have faced Houston, which in the first game it was Tom Savage and Deshaun Watson splitting. Mm-hmm. Then they faced Tennessee, who's a run-first team. Then they faced Baltimore and London, where Flacco threw for 28 yards.
Yikes.
And then the Jets destroyed them on the ground last week.
Yeah.
So it's like the Jags haven't really faced a team who has weapons like the Steelers.
Interesting.
I think you're still going to bench Martavis Bryant. I wrote about trading for Martavis Bryant, buying low a little bit, but you might want to sit this one out. I think Bryant's going to get there. He's been targeted on a lot of deep balls that he's just missed by like a few inches.
Yeah.
And I think those big plays are going to come.
I like it.
Not this week, though.
Here's the deal with Antonio Brown, how I'd look at this situation. And I think this is how you should think about all fantasy debates and situations is like you're playing Brown, of course. Like,
of course.
I don't think you can sit Brown, but you've got to lower expectations or at least increase that range of outcomes to incorporate a much lower floor than normal.
Sure.
And then that should influence your decisions in other spots. You know, maybe you can play somebody that has a bit more volatility, or maybe you want to play somebody that's a little safer just to, again, kind of account for the fact that, yeah, I'm playing Brown with the full expectation that it could not go well because this is a horrible spot.
Oh, yeah, it's not very good. All right, LCH. I'm going to start this movement, guys. Now the basketball season is back. I fully am trying to start the movement where we call the Chargers LCH.
Is this like a revenge game narrative because of your Clippers experience?
No, because LAC is confusing because it's always been Los Angeles
exactly.
Clippers for many years.
For so many years now, it's like anytime you see the ticker, it's like LAC – and you're like, oh, okay, cool. It's the Clippers score. And it's like, no, actually, now we're talking about the Chargers.
Interesting. I like my narrative better, but continue.
If anything, shouldn't it be the other way around where I like say that the LAC is going to be the Chargers? But
I don't know, man. Okay, I didn't really put a lot of thought into this.
Okay. All right. LCH at NYG. We're talking about the Chargers taking on the Giants. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
This is another game, West Coast team, obviously traveling east. I think this could, yeah, this game's either going to go one of two ways.
Okay.
I think this could be a real high scoring contest where both these teams are coming after each other, or
the other way,
or the Chargers just completely implode.
Yes. Yep.
In New York. That I could totally see that happening too. But I mean, Eli Manning right now chucking the ball. This is why I decided to pick him up, because they're just chucking the ball 40 plus times a game, and the Chargers defense doesn't really scare me. So I'm playing pretty much, you know, the Giants I feel confident in, which is Odell Beckham and Manning at this point. Everybody
Sterling
else,
Shepard.
I think Shepard's like a fine floor play. in PPR, but not somebody that I'm like super jazzed about.
Oh, I thought you would have loved him this week.
He's a fine play for sure. But then on the Chargers, well, the backfield, of course, you got to talk about Wayne Gallman. I think Gallman's playable in this spot too, especially if Paul Perkins is going to miss the game, which I don't know if we have any clarity on that.
He came back to practice, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, then I don't know. I mean, I still think he's playable just because. Like, they need to do something with this backfield. I mean,
yeah.
It's not working out with Paul Perkins. I mean, Chris, you said this before we started the show. He has, what, like
61
yards.
Okay. It's a leading rusher.
Gross. Not cool.
Wow.
That's bad.
Yeah. So they got to try something. And Gallman looked competent last week, which
right.
is pretty much all you need at the running back position for fantasy if there's going to be volume there.
If there's a scouting report on Gallman, it said he's just a simple north-south runner. That's
yeah.
it. And that's all this offense needs right
it's
now.
It's good for goal line looks.
Sure.
Yeah, they
absolutely.
Just need somebody to keep them on schedule.
Yes.
And so I think he could be that. So I do think he's playable, and I think was a good add off the waiver wire. On the Chargers side, I'm starting to get worried about the run game, especially. I mean,
yeah,
Melvin Gordon
yep.
has not been good.
Good.
I don't think he's healthy, but he's always been an inefficient runner. I mean, even last year he was scoring a ton of touchdowns, but averaging under 4 yards a carry. So, I don't know. He's someone that I'm nervous about.
The Giants are giving up a lot of yards on the ground.
Are they?
Yeah.
They have been kind
That's
of a,
kind of deceiving because people think they have a good run defense.
Well, they were elite last year.
Right.
28th against the run this year.
142 yards.
Wow.
Per game on the ground.
That's odd.
Yeah.
I think they've allowed three different runners to go for 5+ yards per carry the last 2 weeks. Yeah.
yeah.
One of those was not Ezekiel Elliott.
Nope.
So, like, if Gordon can't get it done this game, I would definitely be worried.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the passing game, I think that their cornerbacks are good matchups for the Giants corners profile pretty well against the Chargers receivers. I mean, DRC plays a lot in the slot.
Okay.
So he's going to match up with Keenan Allen a little bit there.
Keenan will destroy him.
Keenan will be fine, but
but
he's not like like last week Keenan had just a golden matchup against the Eagles slot corner.
You.
So it's
not one of
those situations.
Right.
Tyrell Williams, we talked about him on Monday's podcast. Like, I think he's just a total boom bust play, and this probably isn't. I mean, you can't really because the Giants have shadowed Jenkins some mid-game, but I don't think they'll use him to shadow anybody in this contest specifically.
I wouldn't think so.
So you're just kind of hoping that Benjamin and Williams get some routes against Eli Apple, who's been real poor this year, but you can't like predict that he's definitely going to see him, you know, 80 times a game or something.
All right, there you go.
Giants allowing most fantasy points per game to tight ends too. So
Hunter Henry, if we're following the trends.
That's right.
If we're following the trends, one game off, one game on. One game off, one game on.
Might be a Henry game.
Good
Both of
Lord.
These guys are dart throws. They're like Gates has the slight edge in playing time and targets, but Henry has more yards and he's younger and like who knows.
I know. It's a dart throw.
It's gross.
Alex Gellhart will stay with you. Bills taking on Cincinnati in the Queen City.
This is a game with with very few fantasy assets we need to talk about, so we can hopefully move quickly. Tyrod Taylor's kind of been brutal on the road historically and this year as well.
Interesting.
But there's so many players off. I think you can stream him if you're desperate. The Bengals also, I think, have allowed the most rushing yards to quarterbacks, and that's only come through three quarterbacks because Joe Flacco did not run once on them because he's a statue and has a bad back. LeSean McCoy, you know, he's been getting the volume. We haven't seen him rushing as effectively as we want.
Right.
But I think this could be the game where he gets into the end zone finally, perhaps against the Bengals. And I think they have where did I put this in here? They've been damaged by running backs through the air as well. And we know Shady's getting a lot of targets aside from Charles Clay, who is a weekly start at tight end. He's seen over 25% of the total team targets. And he's no longer a streamer. We're plugging him and playing him. And I think the Bills' defense on the road, you can still play him. Dalton's been sacked at least three times in every game and has committed at least one turnover in two of his contests. So a defense as good as the Bills.
Yeah, they look good.
Is still playable, which is the reason I'm not playing Andy Dalton. He's had a great couple weeks bouncing back. That thing's turning around.
Yeah.
I think you could still flex Joe Mixon because of volume. It's not a great spot. But, I mean, again, four teams are already on bye and injuries have just ravaged backfields.
Right.
You're starting.
Are we not giving enough credit to Giovanni Bernard? Because every single time he gets out, he's making plays.
He scored a receiving touchdown in each of the last two games, but he is not playing a ton of snaps. Mm-hmm. He's only played 27% of the snaps the last 2 weeks.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be confident.
It's you know, upside is there because he's a good player, but like it's
that's what I'm wondering.
It's a dicey bet.
See, I guess what I'm saying is, should we start to, if the roles were reversed, right? Where if Joe Mixon was the established veteran and Gio Bernard was the rookie, the expectations would be totally turned around, right? We're like, oh, Gio's got to get more snaps. Gio's got to get more snaps because every time he touches the ball, good things are happening,
yeah.
Right? So I'm just wondering, at some point, does Marvin Lewis just say, man, forget it. Like Mixon is going to – we're going to develop him in the offseason. We got to just win some ball games right now, and let's give the ball to Gio Bernard.
The problem there is, like, I think he's – Bernard is making plays as a receiver,
in space.
Yeah, but as a running back, I don't know that it would be much different just because this offensive line for Cincinnati, like, they haven't been as dreadful pass blocking as I think people expected, mm-hmm. but they've been a nightmare run
right.
blocking.
And Gio's not going to change that.
No.
Okay.
So either way, I mean, Mixon is averaging negative 0.94 yards before a defender closes within a yard of
right.
him per next gen stats. That's,
which is crazy.
That's 43rd out of all 43 running backs that have seen
he's
10
getting
plus
hit in the backfield.
Yards.
He's
yeah.
getting
every
hit
play.
In the
yeah.
backfield, right? On average, every play. It's crazy.
So to wrap this up, I wouldn't play Gio this game because I think he's going to be usable in flex roles in higher scoring games or ones that could be shootouts. But this
yeah.
should be a low scoring game. It's got a low
you're
total
right.
from our friends in the desert. You're starting AJ Green. He owns 31% of Dalton's targets and he leads the league in percentage of targeted air yards with 41.9. Tyler Kroft. I don't think we should
chase. Man.
I don't
Let's
think
go.
We should chase his production
oh,
this week.
Okay.
He's been out there for 90% of the snaps since Tyler Eifert was forced to the bench, but
and they don't have another tight end.
He's their wide receiver too, bro.
I'm not chasing it this week in a tough spot against
yeah.
the Bills. I'd rather wait and see.
Okay.
The Bills also only haven't allowed a touchdown to a tight end yet, and only allow 46 yards per game to the position.
Dang. I do think that Kroft is rosterable right now.
Oh, certainly.
Given the fact that Eifert can't stay healthy, and again, they don't have another tight end. I mean, you talked about the snap share percentage that he has. I mean, CJ Uzuma is there, but they've converted him to almost like an H-back role. So he's not really a tight end for them. So
yeah.
It's interesting.
The encouraging things are his targets did jump from 4 to 7 from week 3 to 4, and he saw 2 looks in the red zone last week, which he turned both into touchdowns. But like I said, I'm not going to chase that,
yeah.
especially in a bad spot here.
Panthers taking on Detroit. Calvin Benjamin, DNP Wednesday with his knee issue. Matt Harmon, break down this game for us.
Well, on the Lions side, I feel like we have a pretty good idea of just what their offense is and what they're going to be. I think Stafford has really slowed down since that week one explosion
sure,
against
yeah.
Arizona. So I think he's a low-end streamer just because
right.
I think this game could – I don't really know if I have a good feeling on whether I feel like this game is going to be tend more towards high scoring or low scoring.
I'm exactly the same way.
Because I can see it playing out both scenarios. Like both of these offenses have shown – good moments. They've also shown some whatever moments, and
yep.
on Carolina's side, really poor moments. But
quick on Stafford, since his week one explosion, 13 points, 16 points, 10 points in fantasy.
And he's playing well. They're just
right.
not, airing it out or anything like that. So I don't know. That Stafford, I feel like, is a low-end streamer in this contest. Probably guys I like. I mean, I think I like guys like Manning, Jake Brisket better than him. So I tend to think that I'm probably not – two in on the them.
Jake Brisket is Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, sorry. Thanks to our friends further around the NFL podcast for
yeah,
that one.
Brisket.
Amir Abdullah Amazing. Did leave in the fourth quarter with an injury, and he was limited on Wednesday practice. But
okay.
If he ends up playing, I think you know what you're getting with him, which is a little bit of volatility. If they fall behind, if the Panthers are able to mount a lead, I think this could be a spot where Theoretic is out there a lot. So just not real confident in any of these ancillary players that aren't Golden Tate in this Lions offense. And even he's been up and down too. So this is the way Detroit is right now. For Carolina, coming into this game with a little bit of a distraction, which is great but I don't really – again, I don't know if I have a ton of clarity on who the Panthers are offensively because they made a lot of plays in the pass game.
Against New England
with
and
a
that's
lot
it.
Of blown coverages.
Yeah.
I think
that's going to trick people into starting all the Panthers just because they had such
a
good game
up
against
Cam
the Patriots. I don't know.
I did pick
not.
Him up in one league where I wanted to stream quarterbacks, and
yeah.
So I'm okay with that. I think that this is a pretty decent spot for them.
Hmm. I think you turned a corner, man.
Yeah.
I think, first of all, the fact that he got out there and was running around too, I just think that they had struggled offensively for enough weeks where Cam's like,
forget it.
Well, the thing with Cam Newton is that, like, he's always been a streaky player outside of 2015 where he just absolutely
decimated.
Caught fire, yeah. Like, especially towards the end of the season. Other than that, like, some of this, like, his start, I think it's been exacerbated by the shoulder injury, but, like, this is who the guy is, man. Like, he has these big, awesome moments, and then he has some real terrible games, too. I mean, that's just where we're at with Cam Newton at this point in his career. I'm interested in both wide receivers because – I don't know that I think Darius Slay is going to track Kelvin Benjamin around the field.
Okay.
Slay's been awesome this year, by the way. He was also on my Next Gen Stats All-Pro team for the defensive backs. He's
cool.
Averaging under 45 under a 45 passer rating in
That's
coverage
great.
This year. So he's been awesome. Devin Funchess, I do think, is playable 100% in this game. He's getting the volume. He's getting the snaps. And Chris McCaffrey, like, we're still waiting for that big blow-up game. This could potentially be it in Ford Field, in the Dome.
He has zero touchdowns.
Until
right?
he – Yeah,
yeah no,
until
no.
he blows up, every game is going to be his potential blow.
Potential blow. I think that you know it's a good it's
fair
a good
enough,
it's a good spot for him, especially with Detroit's like coverage linebackers not being ideal players.
That's a very good point. I'll give you a couple injury updates here. Ty Montgomery is going to practice today on Thursday. Marquise Lee with his ribs is out on Thursday. Devontae Adams still in protocol. Matt Forte, again, not practicing on Thursday. This is the big one I thought was interesting. It might go under the radar here. Tyron Smith, the starting left tackle for the Dallas Cowboys, he's got a back issue. A back issue, which is not good. He's not going to be practicing Thursday. It would be some fellow by the name of Byron Bell who would be
interesting
starting left tackle if Tyron
– I'm triggered. Byron,
yeah, he's triggered.
Byron Bell, not a good player.
Oh no,
he was.
Oh no,
he was a guy the Panthers tried to make their starting left tackle for a few years.
Okay,
did not work.
Did not
out.
Work out.
And then he went to the Titans, flamed out there.
So
he's just a total journeyman guy that not a good situation.
So there you go. So that's something to keep in mind for you Ezekiel Elliott owners. Hell, if you're even if you're a Dak Prescott guy. Titans at Miami. Mariota was limited Wednesday. Matt Castle got all the first team reps. Matt Franchise, what do you got?
I don't think Mariota's going to play. They say
I don't think so
game
either.
Time decision.
Yeah, I would be surprised.
I think they just let him rest and see if he can heal up by week six.
Yep.
Matt Castle is not good, so you can't start any.
Matt Castle's not
Look,
good.
He came in relief of Mariota last week. He went 4-for-10 for 21 yards, two picks, with an 8.3 passer rating.
Wow.
You're not
is that
starting.
Bad? That sounds bad.
Yes, you're that's... not. That's bad. You're not starting any Titans pass catchers. Maybe Delanie Walker, but I think the Titans are going to attack the Dolphins on the ground because they have two strong running backs. So you fire up DeMarco Murray. You fire up. Derrick Henry maybe in like a deeper league
for the third week in a row. Miami skill players are in a good spot.
I am giving quick
on the Titans.
Yeah.
I actually think you can play Rishard Matthews this week.
Ugh.
Here's why because
good luck with
him
that.
And Castle. So Castle played two games in relief, like solid games in relief of Mariota last year.
Yeah,
those two games and his pinch hit this past week after Mariota went down. Matthews owns 31.7% of Castle's targets. And in Castle's lone start last year, Matthews went 9-for-114 and a touch on 13 targets in a win over the Texans.
13 targets?
Corey Davis is out.
Matthews has
been there for a while. I'm worried about Henry and Murray personally because if the Dolphins offense gets its head out of its butt and finally plays against in a great spot and puts up some points, like that's going to take those guys out of the game.
It's third week in a row we're saying
and,
that.
And Castle.
I'm giving Miami one more shot here, yeah.
And okay, so I'll get you back to Miami, but like Castle is bad. Like he has had been a turnover machine, and like if he throws a pick six or you know turns the ball over and they fall behind, it's just going to take those running backs right out of it.
Matt.
But I am giving Miami one more shot. I wrote Jay Cutler up as a streamer this week because I hate myself.
Yes.
But
perfect.
It's Miami's first home game of the season. The Titans were shredded both through the air and on
you
the
know
ground
what, though?
Last week
That's
by
a
Houston.
Good point, man. That's a good point.
It's their first home
game.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not bad.
There it is.
You know, I mean, seriously, they've been traveling around the world. I mean, it's been tough.
And I think it might be a good get-right spot for Ajayi finally again, too. I know they've just been bad in, like, two straight favorable matchups. One was in London. One was on the road in New York. So they're home. Tennessee's been struggling on defense. I think you can give them one more shot.
France, you're the trade calls master, but –
Well,
actually Verizon is.
Oh,
But yeah,
inside joke that nobody's gonna get. But whatever.
It's NFL, sponsored by Verizon.
Yeah, it's sponsored by. But the NFL handle tweeted out franchise's article, but didn't at him. They just added.
They were like trade calls,
which by the
written
way,
by Verizon
is like a is a massively well performing article.
Oh,
social
God.
Media eats it up. They had franchise do like a video segment of it, and then when they tweeted it out, it was by Verizon.
Yeah,
it was hilarious.
Yeah, it's hysterical.
Oh, it's absolutely
so.
Awesome.
Franchise has been replaced by the machines.
Yes, he has indeed. I've gotten a lot of questions about Jay Ajayi,
yes.
And I really believe in buying low on him.
I wrote him up the last 2 weeks, I think, as a buy low.
Yeah.
Because they played the Jets and the Saints, and now they get Tennessee. I think they play Atlanta in the next week or two, which is another favorable matchup. But I said buy low 2 weeks ago, and he hasn't done anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's still
so
a buy.
Even
I think
lower.
It's still – right, exactly. So it's even more in that favor. I'm kind of in on that. I think he's going to be better.
I feel good about Ajayi bouncing back in this spot. I do not trust the passing game one bit because I do not trust the quarterback.
But Tennessee has been so forgiving.
Fool me once.
And Jay Cutler has been so unforgiving.
This is what Jay Cutler does. When everyone fades him, then he'll throw four touchdowns.
We said that last week. I think he's just about cooked. I think he's
not going to fool me again.
I think he's done. And Matt Cassel's been done for 2 years.
All right,
let's go
around the horn
that.
Real quick, okay? Yes or no? Starting DeVante Parker.
Yes.
Yes.
I'd rather not.
There you go.
One against Tennessee, bro.
All right, there you go.
Well, no, I mean, look, I think if you have better, if you have more, it depends. I mean, if you have more predictable, reliable options, sure. But he has. Yeah, which you probably don't. You're right. I'm probably wrong about this. I think you can probably play him because even in Cutler's struggles, he's maintained.
He's been
a
serviceable.
He's had a good floor. His lowest finish in standard is wide receiver 28. His lowest, or no, excuse me, PPR is 28. His lowest in standard is 34. So that's. That's
usable.
Wide receiver three
it's
flex
fine.
Territory
yeah, it's
for
fine.
Every week,
flex
even
territory.
Even as the sky has been falling and Cutler's been degaffing all over the place.
Right.
All
right,
there you go. Cards taking on Philadelphia. Wendell
debate.
Smallwood, DNP Wednesday. He's got a knee issue, which I find to be very interesting.
Jay Cutler did to us.
He has a knee.
He's got the knee. Alex Gellhar, what do you got in this game?
We'll start with the Cardinals side. They're on the road. Starting Carson Palmer in fantasy has been the emotional equivalent of watching an inexperienced loved one ride a unicycle across a high wire because he, like...
What?
Yes, you heard me. I wrote that in matchups and I wanted to read it because it was so funny.
What a...
Nice pull.
But I can confirm
that's a grueling experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Having personally experienced that.
But thankfully, he's pulled it out successfully. He's second in the league in yardage.
All
and
right.
This Eagles defense has allowed 713 passing yards and 5 touchdowns over the last 2 weeks because they've got so many people banged up right now. So I think Carson Palmer's a solid streamer. You do worry about that cross-country travel for him where he's struggled, but this offense has to move through his right arm, so he's going to have passing volume, and he's a solid starter.
I think it moves through his left arm.
Oh, really?
That's what I think is going to happen.
That's a contrarian opinion.
Yeah.
Watching complete like it, a stupid pass where like he's getting sacked.
Yeah, left hand.
Shovel pass,
left hand, touchdown.
All right, so Harmon mentioned Andre Ellington. I think he's a decent play in PPR.
Okay.
You want to start Larry Fitzgerald. His volume's been a bit up and down. His target totals have gone 13, 6, 15, and 7, but he's
pretty good.
It's still good. Like you're playing him because he's getting pummeled with volume.
Yep.
And I think Jayron Brown is a fine starter too. John Brown watch
not
his
so
status.
Injury report.
Well,
again.
I mean, he's on. He's always on the
quad.
Injury report.
Yeah, that's
so
where
like,
he's gonna be on
he
there.
Played last week.
He did play last week and was close to having a pretty big game. But Jerron Brown has basically like matched Larry Fitzgerald his production the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He's playing a ton of snaps. I think he's a fine starter.
I think the organization has moved on from Jerron Brown. Honestly,
I think
you talk about teams getting frustrated with injured players. I think they're just like what, man. We got to move on.
If he's there, great. It's great for them.
I think they're just not counting on him.
I think they just look
anymore.
At first initials and last names, and they just think it's the same
Brown.
Guy. And
hey,
they're like,
look,
yeah, we're getting the production out of him. Just leave him in there.
I don't know that you can say they're moving on because, in his first game back after the injury stretch, he played a lot more than J.J. Nelson, who had been making plays before. So I think they just, when they have him available, they will use him as their number three receiver. And, he's a good player, and they'll just when he's gone, he'll be gone.
Yeah. As for the Eagles, I think you can start Carson Wentz with relative confidence. He's coming back home. I'd be worried about Alshon Jeffery in this game. He's not seeing the target volume we want out of a number one receiver.
Patrick
and he's going to get the Pat P treatment, and Pat P has been balling out this year again. So
I want zero part of Alshon Jeffery this week.
How
about for the rest of the year, man? I'm not
I don't know. They're still going to him.
Not enough.
No?
I mean, he's had one game with double-digit targets.
That's interesting.
Zach Ertz is the top target there for sure.
I mean, Zach Ertz leads all tight ends in targets, receptions, receiving yards, and first downs.
Yeah, he's beasting.
We just need him to get into the end zone more, but he's an every week play. Mm-hmm. I think the Wendell Smallwood knee injury is like I was just reading about it too. It's a new one. He wasn't hurt after the game last week, so that's slightly concerning. But if both he and LeGarrette Blount go, I think they're fine plays in the flex. You know with LeGarrette Blount you want a touchdown, but they're splitting a hefty-ish workload and Smallwood's getting the passing game work. Eagles D probably want to play them against Carson Palmer. He's getting
sacked
a ton.
If Smallwood doesn't go, Corey Clement is a name that you should definitely circle on your waiver wire as well.
Absolutely. And the other pass catchers, I don't know if I'm trusting Aguilar or Torrey Smith in this one.
Nope.
But yeah, Eagles D, you want to fire him. Carson Palmer's protection is god awful.
Oh my god, they're so bad.
He'll probably get sacked numerous times, even with Fletcher Cox out, and could commit a turnover too.
Yep, there you go. Ravens taking on Oakland, Matt franchise. What do you have in what is anticipated to be?
Well, Emmanuel, streamer.
Yeah, we already already eviscerated the Oakland offense here.
Indeed. Should we just move on to another game?
Ravens,
they don't have very many assets.
Pretty sure Jeremy Maclin leads the Ravens with like 116 receiving yards or 130, something really bad for four games of leading a team.
So bad.
You're not starting anyone except maybe Buck Allen in this game, I think.
Maybe Buck Allen.
Benjamin Watson, sneaky still just because tight end is a wasteland. But yeah, sure. I mean, Buck Allen just real
116
quick.
116 yards for Maclin. He leads the team.
I had some people chirping at me last week about the Buck Allen call going wrong, but like, he's still playing way more snaps than the other guys. Alex Collins is coming in, he had a big run there, which was nice, but like, Buck Allen's the safest play because of that passing.
Did he have a fumble or a turnover?
Collins has fumbled a couple times this year.
Yeah.
He's had 82 yards in the last two games, but two fumbles.
They clearly want to get him the ball, and they want to get him out there. But, I mean, even John Harbaugh said, like, if he keeps fumbling away his chances, like, that'll eventually come to an end.
Seahawks go ahead.
Just for Joe Flacco, he's been so bad. He's last in the NFL in yards per attempt with 5.1 and 150 pass yards per game.
I don't think he's been owned, really, hopefully.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was a guy that probably got drafted because of name value, but if you haven't moved on from Joe Flacco, there's something wrong with
him. He just can't sustain the passing game. So
both defenses are startable, though, in this game. I mean, like I joked, this game could have 5 points in it, but E.J. Manuel and Joe Flacco both could get.
I love the Ravens defense this week. Are you kidding me?
I like Oakland, too.
Seahawks taking on the L.A. Rams. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
Big spot for my Rams. great to see him get a nice home game here.
I like the spot for the Rams.
Oh, my goodness.
My Rams, not the Rams.
The Rams.
Anyways, I think that
if Sean McVay said, Matt Harmon, let's hang out, you would definitely go get beers with him.
I'd go out with Sean McVay.
Why wouldn't I hang out with
dude, he's
my,
like our
my
age.
Brother, Sean McVay.
My brother, Sean McVay.
Yeah. Your younger brother.
My older brother. He's not my younger
he's
brother.
He's like 12.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. He's just a little junior coaching the team.
Can I just say, I love the fact that he just sits on a random water cooler. And
dude, he's awesome.
That's my favorite thing. It's like, oh, the defense is on the field? I give zero Fs.
Yeah, I'm going to leave this
Wade,
to my D coordinator.
Yep,
you got this.
I'm going to make adjustments.
Wade,
let
the other team's running backs destroy us. I'll take over on offense. It's
but
fine.
Not only that, he sits on a water cooler and like is looking at charts. You're like, what? This is
like,
awesome.
He like hides he's from great. People and is over there. And it's my favorite like sideline cam when they're like, where's Sean McVay?
That's great, yeah. I think Goff is on the streaming radar this week just because Seattle has given up some plays. They have not to this point been like a ferocious defense.
Okay.
I
mean, it's not
I wrote him
clink.
Up as a streamer because Jeremy Lane got injured last week.
Yeah.
And Cliff Averill is probably going to be out for a while with
like
severe
scary.
Neck injury.
You
so they're banged up on defense.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
And I think that like he's probably a floor play streamer. Like I don't think he's going to kill you. I don't think he necessarily has a high ceiling. With the rest of the Rams offense though, I mean Gurley is in a nice spot. Seattle has been giving up some production to running backs as well.
So
they just have not been like I said, they just haven't been a great defense overall yet. I mean, I think that they have the potential, the talent to get there.
Yeah.
But they're not there yet. And then I don't really see any reason to play like, well, with Sammy Watkins, like, if you need a ceiling play, fine. But, like, what are you really hoping for? Like, it's been kind of a nightmare for Sammy Watkins.
I think you're chasing that
one
random.
Well, I don't think it's
three performance that he had.
I don't think it's like random. I think that this is just going to be an offense like it was in Washington, that it's going to, you know, the spotlight will flow from different players each and every week. So I think that's where the position you're in with Watkins. Maybe Cooper Kupp is a sneaky play because teams typically attack the Seahawks over the middle. He's running most of his routes from the slot. On the Seahawks side, as Franchise mentioned, the Rams have been kind of getting eaten up on the ground by running backs, but we've already talked about we don't feel too confident in these Seattle running backs. The passing game, though, really interesting to me. So Russell Wilson, despite people, you know, kind of like shaking their head at the start of the year, like, he's the QB3 in fantasy right now.
Ha!
He's been a total dominant figure the last 2 weeks, especially, and I see no reason.
Did he climb that high basically his last 2 weeks? Holy crap.
QB3. That's interesting. So, I mean, it's, well, he has 138 rushing yards, which obviously helps, and he's thrown seven touchdowns. So, yeah, I mean, Wilson's been a good fantasy quarterback. I think
that's
he's
terrific.
An every week start for sure, even though they're on the road. And I'm kind of trending towards wanting to play all the Seattle pass catchers. I mean, Richardson, Lockett, those guys are high ceiling, low-ish floor type guys, but they've both been hitting about the 60-yard mark too. So I'm kind of just – I really believe in this Seahawks offense. I think they're starting to find themselves, and I want to get all these guys in my lineups outside of the running backs.
I kind of feel like I'm going to put Luke Wilson in my danger zone, but we'll find out.
Danger zone!
He is the most he's definitely one of those players that's super, like, annoying as a Jimmy Graham owner.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Big tight end scored it's Luke Wilson.
It's Luke
and
Wilson.
Then you ask yourself, like, you know, this is a deeper question, but it's like, Seahawks, you get like basically the same thing out of Luke Wilson. Why'd you make that trade for Jimmy Graham? But whatever.
And it's funny too, because they like him down there.
Yeah.
Luke Wilson gets high value targets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there you go. Packers taking on Dallas. Alex Gelhar, what do you got? We broke down this game a lot.
Packers.
We did. I mean, you're starting Aaron Rodgers and the pass catchers. The Cowboys have been pretty beat by tight ends. So, like, if you're hurting, Marty B has been getting a ton of volume. He just hasn't turned it into anything.
Rodgers has also talked about wanting to get him involved early.
The street. I read an article earlier this week. Yeah. He's like, yeah, we got to get him going early. He's like, it was so great to have him catch that, like, 26-yard pass or whatever.
Also a revenge game,
which
one of his like eight on the schedule.
Back to back revenge games.
Hey, this goes back to your original sin revenge games.
Yeah, this is the original sin revenge. Yeah,
it's
a good point.
That's a very good point. And on the Dallas side, I think you're firing up a lot of the players in the Dallas offense too. They played the Packers twice last year, scored over 30 points in both games. Well, they scored 30 on the nose in the first game in Lambeau, and then they put 31 on them in the playoffs. So you're starting Dak, you're starting Dez. I think this could be a decent bounce back spot for Witten. I mean, the Packers have been decent covering tight ends, but like, volume's going to be there, and this could be a shootout. You're starting Zeke. I mean, if you want to get frisky, start Bryce Butler. But otherwise, I mean, this is basically just a game where it's as simple as that. You're starting all your big players in this game.
This is the Dez eruption game to me.
Could be.
Nice.
He's 40 targets on the year, 16 catch, 40% catch rate.
You're right.
A lot of low percentage targets against some really good cornerbacks, and this is the game where I think he finally just – I mean, he's been a good fantasy play. Like, he's come out of this four-game stretch with two touchdowns. Like, he's been fine, but this is the week I think he actually goes off.
Shut him down.
Nope. Shut up.
didn't he get injured last week?
Kevin King?
Didn't someone in the Packers secondary get injured?
Jones did.
Oh, okay.
I think, but I do think
back.
You could just
– He came back.
I think you could just generically throw that statement out there and it'd probably –
Someone
be
yeah,
the
so many Packers got injured in that game.
Pack IRs, baby.
That's what I'm saying.
Better than ever.
Unbelievable. Sunday Night Football, Kansas City at Houston.
Let's go.
Franchise.
Kareem Hunt, baby. Yeah. Number one player in fantasy football.
I was told he was the worst pick in the draft.
That's what I was told. I was told that.
And Deshaun Watson, the best quarterback in the league.
Wow.
Huge matchup between two rookies that
what
are just
in your coffee
taking over right now.
I love Deshaun Watson.
This
though.
Should
like
be
him.
A really fun game to watch.
I agree.
Because the Texans are starting to find their chemistry there, and the Chiefs are the only undefeated team left. They're 4-0. They have
riding
a 45
high,
point differential.
They are riding high.
I mean, you're starting Travis Kelce. You're starting Tyreek Hill. You're starting Kareem Hunt. You're probably starting Alex Smith. I think I'm writing him up in my FedEx Aaron Ground because you might see this as a tough matchup against the Texans defense with like J.J. Watt and Clowney back there. But
I think Alex Smith's mobility, though.
Yes.
Watt doesn't have a sack yet this year, and Alex Smith.
Really?
Still without a sack.
He's been blowing up plays though.
Interesting.
Yeah. And like, I was rewatching the game from the other week, and like he was in the backfield constantly, and players were getting and quarterbacks were getting hit by other players.
Okay,
yeah,
I got you.
He was pushing.
He's
people
a disruptor.
Other
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And Alex Smith, we got in our Next Gen Stats packet, has been much better under pressure this year than he was last year.
Okay.
He's taken a huge step forward there. So I'm not concerned about him. And you're probably, if you stream Deshaun Watson, you're firing him up. You're definitely starting DeAndre Hopkins, who's probably going to be going up against Marcus Peters, which should be a pretty good matchup.
That'll be fun to watch, for
I
sure.
I don't know. Well,
you firing
I guess,
up Fuller?
That's... Yeah, probably.
Okay.
You know, flex.
He's a ceiling flex.
Why not?
Yeah. I mean, you know,
the way
boom or bust.
We know that the way the Chiefs play their corners, they have they obviously keep Marcus Peters on the left side of the field. Though it's worth noting, and I know he kind of got into it, I think, with some like fans and like some of the Washington players on Sunday night, but he did give up two touchdowns.
Yeah.
The one deep one to Terrell Pryor. But you actually theoretically think that Will Fuller would run – he plays 44% of his snaps from right wide receiver, so you'd think he'd run up against Peters a lot, which would leave DeAndre Hopkins to eat against those other cornerbacks.
Interesting. All right. Great. Monday Night Football Vikings taking on the Chicago Bears. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
Hey, Mitch Trubisky.
Trubisky, baby.
Trubisky,
let's go.
Hello. Don't really care for fantasy.
Yeah.
Don't matter for fantasy. But, like, I think that we're looking at this game, you know, mostly just to see what Trubisky brings to the offense. I mean, it can't be much worse than what we had with Glennon, pretty much simply from his just lack of ability or willingness to throw the ball downfield and just the complete and utter statue he was in the pocket. So I think if Trubisky's mobility is the one thing that I think I want to watch them the most in this game, because I think that could really help their pair of running backs.
Yes.
Back there.
Selfishly, right. As a Jordan Howard owner, I hope Trubisky just hooks it up.
Yeah. And Tariq Cohen, I mean, kind of gone pretty quiet since,
what the hell is John Fox doing?
I don't know.
He's
foxing it, baby.
John Fox. I don't know. What do you want?
You have limited playmakers. Clearly, this guy is one of your best playmakers, and he's not on the field.
You can't really build an offense around a player like Tariq Cohen.
I'm not saying you build it around. He's got to be on the field. That's my problem with John Fox.
Especially when you're losing by how much they were losing.
He's not even on the field.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
If you're not drawing up – you don't have to draw up plays or again, run your offense through Tariq Cohen, but – He's got to be on
get
the field.
Get him out there as a distraction or a decoy or whatever.
I don't know. It's just
there's a story you can tell yourself where Cohen has a big game here at home against a defense that is a ferocious pass rush unit, and they use him, you know, to kind of just get Trubisky some layups. But like you said, he's never on the field. This game, I think, could be low scoring, which would profile as a more Jordan Howard type game. So I don't know how you feel any confidence in playing Cohen right now. On the Vikings side, I mean, you're getting your guys out there in terms of the wide receivers. They've been fine outside of that one game in Pittsburgh, despite Case Keenum kind of turning back into a pumpkin last week.
Sure
and
did.
Then we have the running backs, and I think Latavius Murray, he came in and got all the rush attempts after Dalvin Cook went down. He'll be the guy. I think Jerick McKinnon is still definitely a player to watch, especially as a pass catcher. So if you play in PPR formats, I'm just as interested in McKinnon as I am with Murray, because I think he has a usable role. And if something happens to Murray, if he gets hurt, then I think McKinnon inherits a nice role.
I mean, Murray even admitted that his ankle is not 100%
for
the offseason
ankle surgery. McKinnon tweaked his ankle in the game last week,
yes,
too, but I think he came back, but I think he's questionable.
He was on the field
right
for the last play of the game for the Vikings, but he did suffer an injury. I mean, both these running backs are kind of tenuous bets right now because of their health, but I think I'm pretty confident in playing Latavius Murray in this game.
So you're telling me Steven Ridley is going to jump into the end zone for us?
Is it
a CJ Ham touchdown?
Stop.
Evil on me, Ricky.
Oh, Murray will be the goal line guy.
All right, let's do daily daps and
daps.
Get out.
Daps.
God, we have the best drops, guys.
The drops are the best. Let's go with Matt Franchise. What do you got?
Rest in peace, Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to one person about Tom Petty who's been like, he was okay.
No.
Everyone absolutely loved him. Everyone has a story. Oh, he was my first concert. I remember listening to him this, that. Like, American legend.
Yep.
And then I'm also going to daily daps this show on Netflix called Friends from College that I started watching, starring Keegan-Michael Kay and Fred Savage. It's 8 episodes or 30-minute episodes. You can plow through it. I thought it was hilarious.
The previews look funny.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I know Harmon watched it too and thought it was okay.
I said it was good. I just
You gave a lukewarm response. I said it was pretty good.
And that wasn't good enough for you.
I thought it was groundbreaking.
Boom. See, all right. Well, now you're
Friends from College. Check it out on Netflix.
All right. It's fine. I'll give daily daps to this. I love Twitter.
I hate it.
And
I
the internet.
Franchise does hate it.
It's just amazing. Okay, so the apple catching guy.
Amazing.
Amazing. So it's this guy on Twitter who his friend just throws him apples from like super far away. And he catches it with his mouth.
Stories above him, like yeah. Like at a college or something, and he's like floors below him, and he's just dropping one down.
And he's catching it with his teeth.
It's incredible.
With his teeth.
Pretty crazy.
I think you retweeted this into my timeline. I was like, this is going to be the stupidest thing ever. And I was like, oh my
this
God.
This is amazing.
I'm transfixed. I couldn't look away.
It is amazing.
And also, I was like trying to Zapruder film it. I was like, is this fake?
But
I was
like, that's no, the other thing. Yeah, I was like, real. Is this fake? But no, I mean, because the other thing too, how is this guy not breaking his teeth?
That's what I thought.
On these things.
They must be small apples.
Find him on Twitter. Daniel Hartman is his name. Daniel Hartman. Go find him on Twitter. He's the apple catching guy. I will also daily dap another thing I found on Twitter. This is the Remix God Suede. So Remix God Suede. He did a Shannon Sharp.
Oh, that was awesome.
Amazing.
Amazing. Can I just say this thing about the Remix God Suede took the Shannon Sharp meme and made it into a song, which is it's fire.
The Black and Mild.
Yeah, with the Black and Mild.
If you didn't see it, Shannon Sharp was on camera with a Black and Mild.
He said, if you win, you get to have a cigar. And Joy Taylor, the host of the Undisputed show, she's like, that is a Black and Mild, not a cigar. But he's just great because he's got the Black and Mild in his mouth, and he just fixes his suit like he's real proud of himself.
He's got the best stupid grin on his face.
It's awesome.
This is my thing, though. I don't watch Skip and Shannon. When I saw the meme, I thought it was fake.
Nope.
I thought the
Smoking Jay kind of thing?
Like Smoking Jay. Who was the other guy that Smoking LeBron? Like, I legitimately thought the Shannon Sharp Black and Mild thing was
guy
a Photoshop.
Guy legit had a Black and Mild in his mouth on national freaking television.
When I saw both those things, I just absolutely lost
the
it.
Remix, though.
The remix is special, man.
And it's good on Shannon, like, to quote tweet it and like, just be like, why y'all got to do me like this? Really, like, sail into it. It's very funny.
Believable. If a frog had pockets, I'm just like, what? It doesn't matter. Anyways, the bottom line is, go check it out. Remix God Suede, Yak and Mild Remix.
Hilarious.
It's the Yak and Mild.
I'm going to watch it again after this.
The Yak and Mild.
I haven't seen it yet. I got to watch
it. It's so funny.
It was in Slack yesterday. It was great.
Unbelievable. All right, Matt Harmon, what do you got?
I've got two.
Buddy.
One, and I know, Alex, you dapped this show a little while ago, but I guess you can take my man card away, too, because I love This Is Us.
Oh, my God.
So
you guys watch the
we're still
this
in
week's?
One.
No,
we're
no,
still
no.
Still
I'm still
oh,
season.
Oh,
I'm plowing through season one. And if someone told me, like, oh, it was like, she said, you're not even close to the emotional tilt.
Dude,
I'm like,
every
oh, no.
episode, I'm like, what is happening to my brain?
Yeah, the one I watched last night, I think it was like episode 6 or 7 in the first season.
Oh, man.
And it's just like, wow, this is
great.
I was talking to my parents about it, and they because like it, the show won a bunch of Emmys deservedly, and they were like, "You'll know when you get to the episode where Sterling K. Brown won his Emmy for." And my dad's like, "I'm tearing up just thinking about it." And I was like,
yeah.
"Great,
yeah.
Man, just at the thought of the show,
it's amazing."
The way it's structured too, and like the way they're telling the past and the present, I don't know. I could say a lot about it, but I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But it's a great show. You should check it out.
Agree.
And again, yeah. Take my man card, if you will. But anyways, and the second one, I want to dap my friend Jordan Rodrigue from the Charlotte Observer, who is – you probably have heard of her by now because
yep.
of the story with Cam Newton. I cannot think of a person that it's more frustrating that something like that happened to, and somebody that would never want – the worst thing as like an analyst, I think, or especially as a reporter, is to become the story.
Right.
You never want that to happen, and I can't think of a person that would – would have not liked that
wanted it
to,
less.
To happen.
Yeah.
But it has happened, and you know, daps to her for dealing with it well. A difficult situation, and like I said, she's a great reporter and she's really good friend.
She's fantastic. Yeah, like having read a bunch of her stuff, she's a young female reporter for a big beat out there in Carolina,
for sure.
And she does a fantastic job. So
yeah.
Absolutely. All right, Alex Gilhart, give me daily daps.
Okay, I got a couple. First daily dap, USA versus Panama tomorrow. World Cup qualifier. Watch it on ESPN2. Go get us a win, guys. It's kind of a must win if we want to make it to the World Cup, which we do. So I believe we can win. Daily dap 2 goes to Jimmy Kimmel. He had another really emotional monologue this past week in the wake of what happened in Las Vegas, because that's his hometown. He had the first one that was on healthcare because his own child was born with like a really serious heart defect.
Right.
And I just think it's really cool for him in that position to, one, use it to try and affect good change, but two, just to be so open and raw and honest. Like, he cried in both of them and was, you know, kind of stumbling through his words. It wasn't this like, I've been a great performer and I've done all this stuff and I'm going to get up here and make a huge statement. It was just a guy being honest about his city and his family and his plight. So I just, you know, daily daps to him for using his platform and doing it that. And from what I saw too, I think that his publicist actually before his monologue aired was just like he's like, no joke, this isn't for Jimmy, but like, watch his show tonight. Like, he's like, it's honest. It's just him, you know, being a raw man person on camera. So daily daps to him. And then the last daily dap goes to, I dapped the musical Hamilton, I think a month or so ago when I saw it with my friend. Incredible. If you can get to see it, go see it. It's in LA, Chicago, New York, obviously. I know tickets are hard to find, but it's incredible. It's probably the best musical I've ever seen. But what's really awesome about it is because why it became such a sensation was that, you know, they blended hip hop into the classic musical thing to tell the story of the founding fathers, which was awesome in its own right. But Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote it and composed it, also did a collaboration called the Hamilton Mixtape with a bunch of hip-hop artists and everybody. And so some of them, it's straight covers. Some of them, they sampled it. Some of them, it's new songs.
Really?
It is amazing. I finally listened to it yesterday, and my mind was blown. And the talent on
Where
this thing.
Where can you find this
It's
thing?
On Spotify, the
oh,
Hamilton mixtape. You should listen to it because the talent is outrageous.
I'm all in.
The Roots, Busta Rhymes, Nas, Usher, Sia, Regina Spektor, Ben Folds, Kelly Clarkson, Alicia Keys. Jimmy Fallon does a cover.
Never heard of any of them.
Ja Rule, Ashanti. Like,
Ja Rule and Ashanti?
Wiz Khalifa,
what?
John Legend. Like, I'm serious. I was listening to this thing, and just
so
every song would pop up. I'm like, what? I'm like, so-and-so?
It's funny.
An amazing listen. It's super fun, and there's just...
You list off all those guys, like, who does not belong? Ja Rule and Ashanti? What the hell?
I mean, you got Ben Folds, too. Like, it's like Busta Rhymes, Nas, Ben Folds. Like, what?
What?
But it's phenomenal. It's super, super fun listen. And
That's great.
Just so many talented people. So daps to that. Like, it is such a cool idea to take a musical, but just be like, hey, everybody, take this, sample it, let's spin it. And it was really, really cool. So daily daps to that.
I mean, that guy just oozes creativity. It's just unbelievable. All right, producer Chris, close us out.
You know what? I'm not a diehard baseball guy, but daps to playoff baseball.
Yeah.
Because it's
pretty
awesome,
Last two days have been pretty good.
Yeah, they've been pretty good. I'm a Nats fan, so Nats Cubs tomorrow, and we'll see what goes down.
Wait, what happened last night? The first night was the Wild Twins Yankees game, right?
Diamondbacks Rockies. It was back and forth. Like, Diamondbacks ended up winning. I don't forget what the score was.
I think it was 11-8.
Chris, this is a football podcast.
I know. I'm sorry. Because I'm not even a big-time baseball guy. But when October hits, I'm like the guy who rolls in October.
And it's like,
it's like nothing else in sports.
The baseball playoffs.
Sorry.
Breaking news. Fabs has finally traded Matt Stafford in the Fantasy Live League.
Wow.
He's thrown us all like 85,000 trades for him.
Who
was it?
Buy
Akbar,
Matt
was it Akbar or Cynthia?
Marcus.
Oh, no.
What?
He must have got a good deal. Who's it for? Tell the
I'll
people.
I'll say the trade quick. So the trade is Fab sends Matt Stafford and Emmanuel Sanders to Marcus, and Marcus sends Golden Tate and Jamison Crowder to Fabiano.
It's a good trade for Marcus.
I mean, he gets Sanders out of the deal, I guess.
Yeah, it's like a good trade for him.
Quarterback could probably just cut him in 2 weeks. Who cares? They don't mean anything in fantasy.
Boom. There you go. By the way, Ian Rappaport reporting that Sam Bradford is going to practice today. And the Vikings will see how he feels going forward.
I look at that. That's why you got to listen to Daily Daps, guys. Breaking news at the end.
There you go. All right, so that's your show for the great Whiz Kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gilhart, for West Virginia's finest, Matt Harmon, and, of course, the magical beard of fantasy, Matt Franciscovich, and for producer Chris, I'm James Coe.
We're out.
See you later.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.